Next hour of Kevin Miller in the Morning is brought to you by Tway Travel, your adventure travel specialists. Fighting for America.
They should know we will follow them to the gates of hell until they are brought to justice. Because hell is where they will reside.
Fighting for Idaho.
Idaho is probably four, five, six, seven times the size of pick a state in the east, New Hampshire, Connecticut. And yet your power in the electoral vote is a fraction of theirs.
Fighting for you.
This is the first time in American history when we're going to really leave our legacy and children with less opportunity than we had when we grew up. It's frightening and it requires immediate action.
Boise's Mr. Right, Kevin Miller in the Morning.
It's scary.
On 580 KID. Idaho's first radio station.
KIDO, K. Miller in the Morning. We're joined by our great friend, talk show host, woman of the world, Heidi Harris, Heidiology, HeidiHarrisShow.com, Heidi Harris Incorporated. Good morning.
Incorporated, you're hilarious. How are you, dear?
You know, always a pleasure to yap to you here at 580 KIDO. What have you been up to?
You know what? It's kind of a slow week around here. I don't want to bring anybody down, but I have a dog who's had cancer, so that's kind of our focus this week. It's coming to that time, and it's pretty awful, and I know all of your listeners can relate to that at some point. So it's been kind of rough, but other things are good besides that.
Well, we're sorry to hear about that, and we do follow you on Facebook, and, you know, we wish your little friend well.
Yeah, it's one of those, you know, we all go through it. Sadly, we have to outlive our pets. It's not fair, but it happens. Just one of those things, and you got to do the right thing by them when they get to that point, because they can't, you know, in the wild, a wolf or something like that will just go crawl off and die, and we people will shove pills down their throat and put them through surgeries and chemo and this and that and the other, pretty much doing it for ourselves, not for them. So you always have to weigh that.
Well, no, I agree with you. You know, I look at my little doggies each and every day with a blessing, and you know, the dog people, pet people are, you know, we get that. And you always kind of look at people when they don't get the pet thing, and you look at them with suspicion.
Well, they look at us with suspicion because we don't get the kid thing.
Yeah, exactly. Yes. Exactly. Yes. Let's get back to some serious issues here. You, you know, are a vibrant lightning rod when it comes to issues. What issues culturally concern you the most today? Is it ISIS? Is it what's going on with the gays? Is it the cultural erosion? By the way, wake up to depression. That's what we're talking about here this morning at 580KIDO. But what are some of the biggest threats that you see on the horizon for us?
Well, I think there are a lot of problems culturally that people don't want to talk about. You know, when you look at Ferguson, for example, you can talk about the race issue all day long, and I know you've talked about it, and you know, your listeners would be very concerned about that and might have to. It's a big deal, but I think the larger issue in Ferguson is the cultural problem we have in America, and that's with white people, black people, how many kids are born into fatherless homes. The numbers are 70% in the black community, and the white community is pretty much neck and neck with them. And that's the kind of thing that starts a chain of events that leads to all kinds of problems, including young men who many times, and I wasn't there, I'm not going to disparage Michael Brown at this point. I don't know what happened. But what we do know is that there are a lot of people who don't have any respect for cops, black, white, purple people. They just don't. And if your kid is taught at 2 years old to hate cops or not respect authority, they don't respect the parents, they don't respect their teachers, then when they run into cops, the last thing on their mind is yes, sir, yes, ma'am, no, ma'am. I've been told over numerous times, I'm sure you have too, I've never been hurt or thrown over the hood of a car because I was taught as a child to respect authority. And I think that's what's really lacking in our culture, and nobody wants to talk about that aspect of it.
Well, and everybody makes excuses, and then we blame the police, and then we have the divisive thing. Now, having worked in the South and other markets where people are more racially sensitive, I kind of get this. But as a talk show host, as an American, how do we get past the divisiveness, the great divider that is race?
I think we need to ignore the race pimps, as one of my friends, Jesse Lee Peterson, you know Jesse Lee, that's what he called them. And I think that's true because they make their money off of those people. That's what they do. You know, Al Sharpton doesn't care when blacks are killing blacks in Chicago or anywhere else. And all of a sudden a white person does it, now it's an outrage. And if a white cop shot an unarmed black person for no reason, that is a big deal. That's an outrage. But I would argue that if a police officer in a black community, and as you know, Ferguson, mostly black, no black officers on the force, when you look at that community, for example, even your craziest racist cop doesn't shoot a kid at 10 o'clock in the morning in front of a bunch of witnesses for no reason. You know, but even if at that, and if that were true that he did, then he should be prosecuted. But the idea that they're jumping on this bandwagon and people like Al Sharpton show up and try to foment the racial flames. And by the way, some of the other news channels, Fox did it, CNN did it, they all do it. They go down there and they fan the flames because they want to see those TV cameras showing people looting and all those kinds of things. And it's terrible because that is not representative of the quote-unquote black community. I hate that phrase, but a lot of people use it. That's not the way most black people in this country function. And so it's outrageous to go down there and show that as an example to the world as if that's how it is. And that's not true.
Heidi Harris joining us. Kevin Miller in the morning here at 580 KIDO. Yeah, I get that. It just seems so hurtful that then we have people, well, we better make sure that we want this cop prosecuted. Whoa. We don't get the other side of the story. What, you know, we condemn before we get the facts. And the facts, because we're so racially, you know, propagandized, the facts don't matter. This cop has to pay. Well, what if he was right? What if the guy was a thug? What if this? Sorry, he has to pay.
Yeah, nobody wants to talk about that. And you have to ask yourself, how many people did the officer, this officer Darren, pull over? How many black people did he encounter over the course of his career, making a whopping $28,000 a year as a Ferguson police officer? How many people did he pull over, come into contact with over the course of his career and not shoot? And that's something no one talks about. Listen, I'm not here to defend police officers as if they're always perfect. They're human beings. They're fallible. They have their prejudices. They have their different things like all of us do. But when you look at those who say the cops are trigger happy, remember that police officers take people to jail every single day who have committed heinous crimes. The police officers know that. They pull them off of a child or an adult hurting somebody, doing something heinous. And somehow those folks make it down to the courthouse alive. Somehow they face trial. So if cops were really trigger happy, when they got a guy who's got it coming, so to speak, why don't those people get shot on the way down to the courthouse or have some kind of accident? This doesn't happen. That's what I'm talking about. But you never hear those kind of stats discussed.
No, you don't. And let's switch gears economically. Do you think we live in the haves and the have-nots? Could our friend, that great philanderer, John Edwards, be right that we've become a country of two Americas?
I think it's funny that he's suing Al Jazeera. Oh, no, you're talking about John. I was saying that Al Gore. Yeah, John Edwards. Yeah, two Americas. Yeah, the one he lives in and the one I live in. I don't know that it's two, that it's two Americas. I think that he likes to make it seem that way. But there is a middle class, and it's not doing as well in some states as it is in others. For example, in California, you've got pretty soon you're going to have nothing except rich people and the people who clean their houses and mow their lawns and nobody else left because the middle class can't survive. So I don't think it's two Americas. I think government needs to get off our back and make it easier for us to achieve the American dream. We need to stop believing that it can't happen. But see, the interesting thing is the same liberals who decry how hard it is to quote-unquote make it in America are the same ones who want to tax us to death, driving mothers into the workplace who might prefer to stay home with their kids and forcing people to work longer and longer hours just to make ends meet because of their taxes and their ridiculous schemes to try to make a better society. But they never want to complete that circle, so to speak.
It just seems strange to me, Heidi, that here we have the stock market blowing up, and yet in our day, when we were growing up, when the stock market was going up, the jobs were going up, and then we have the inflated unemployment numbers. More people have opted out. We're throwing part-time jobs in there, and we have to really wonder about the future of our great nation when it comes to economic liberty, economic freedom.
Yeah, I think that's very true. But I also think people have a responsibility to look around and see what's going on and jump off the train before the train leaves the tracks. For example, as you know, in Atlantic City, you know, there's this couple of casinos that closed. They're expecting 5,000 people this week to apply for unemployment. And it's a horrible thing, and I can't stand to see people out of work. And I used to be in the casino industry myself. But by the same token, you got to look around at some point and realize that the industry you're in, or at least in that town, is dying. And make a change. You know, for some sells typewriters, for example, or fax machines or whatever it might be. You better keep your eyes open and see where your industry is going before you wind up getting left behind. And I think more people ought to do that.
I'm going to put you on the spot here at 580KIDO. What about
I'm ready.
What about the future of our industry? How do you see it going?
I wasn't going to mention that. I think the future of our industry is changing a lot. I really do. I don't think that there is a job in radio in this country that I would want. When I've been in Las Vegas for many years, as you know, 15 years. Then I went to Los Angeles for a year, and then I came back here, and a lot of people said to me, are you going to go to another market? And I said, no, there's not a job in this country that I want. I had a couple markets approach me. No, either there's no money, there's no support. It's just not worth the hassle. There's obviously no job security in what we do, which is okay. I'm not one of those kind of people who wants job security, quote unquote, not even sure what that is, but I'm not that person. But it's getting more and more difficult to make a living in the radio business. And it's a shame because they keep, what happened is, as you know, some of the major companies a few years back got themselves in a tremendous amount of debt, and they're cutting and cutting and cutting. Well, sooner or later, you're going to cut to the point where you're going to have nobody there doing it. And a lot of industries I know, not just radio, are basically having people do the work of two, sometimes three people. They grind them to death, and people just get completely burned out. And at some point, you've got to have a balance. I believe in working really hard, but you've got to have a balance. And if somebody's not getting any sleep, you know what that's like, being on morning drive all these years, getting no sleep. You're getting up one or two in the morning, you're doing your show, then you're doing events and this and that and the other. It's a lot. That's not a complaint. It's just that you can only do so much in a 24-hour period of time. And so the industry is really hurting a lot of people because they just don't have the personnel anymore to give you the support you need.
And again, we try not to have a curtain here at 580KIDO. You've talked to me about that off the air.
About what?
About getting a life.
Well, I think you do need to have a life. And I remember when I did morning drive, I lived on 2 hours sleep and Excedrin for years. I get it. I totally understand what you go through.
Right.
And I think that there's got to be a balance in your life between doing something you love. And when you do what we do, you do radio, you're constantly, you have one ear always to what's going on in the news, what's happening around you. You're following Twitter, you're watching Facebook and the Internet, and constantly, constantly you want to know what's going on. That's why you do what you do, because you're interested in everything. And it is tough to turn it off. It is tough to say, you know what, enough today. I'm just going to sit down. I'm going to read a book that has nothing to do with current events. And it's tough to do, but sometimes you have to strike that balance. You got to get enough exercise. Luckily, I have dogs who make me walk, whether I feel like it every day or not. And those are all things that it's easy to forget about when you're doing all you can to tread water.
Heidi Harris joining us. Heidiology, Kevin Miller in the morning here at 580KIDO. You know, and one more segment, because people, one more minute here. I'm going to try and get you in and then we'll go to traffic. But, you know, I think that a lot of people seem to be tuning out, Heidi, where, hey, let's talk about sports. Let's talk about everything else. Let's kind of, you know, the idea of issue-oriented talk or conservative talk, I think it could be on its way out, just because people, they don't want to hear about the issues, they don't want to be informed, and I believe that's a danger to our republic.
I think it's part of it, but I think you don't give yourself enough credit. Here's why. What's happened with conservative talk radio is you've got a couple of people who are really good. You've got Hannity, Rush, Savage, a couple others. We all know who they are. And they're good at what they do. And then you've got a lot of stations who fill up the rest of the lineup, if there even is one, with a bunch of people who are not talented like that. Like, for example, Howard Stern. You may not like his, you know, his brand of radio. He is who he is because he's enormously talented, even though it's not my cup of tea. How many guys have tried to do what he does, you know, get chicks in the studio or whatever, and they don't work? So same with people spewing right-wing headlines. If they have no talent, they have no storytelling abilities, they're not interesting, they're not funny, no one's going to listen to them. And then the stations blame a national host. They go, well, talk radio is going downhill because so-and-so said such and such. No. It's because you filled your lineup with people who aren't talented, and that's why they're tuning out, because everybody isn't Kevin Miller. And I'm not just saying this. I've said this behind your back. You are one of the best in the entire country. I know that for a fact. But you are an exception, sadly, a big exception to what our industry has become.
Well, Heidi, the check's in the mail for that one.
Well, yeah, I could use one. Go ahead, right?
I don't know.
It's true, and other people know that about you, too. It's not just me saying it and sucking up. You and I have been friends for years. You are enormously talented, and everybody who knows you knows it.
Well, thank you, Heidi. More coming up with our great friend, Heidi Harris. HeidiHarris.com, Heidiology. You can always follow her on Facebook. Much more coming up here at 580KIDO. Let's get you to
Sean Hannity, weekdays at 3. Now, back to Kevin Miller on 580KIDO, Idaho's first radio station.
Good morning and welcome to 580KIDO. Don't forget to check us out on Twitter at 580KIDO. If you do, you'll see some retweets there from our great friend Heidi Harris joining us, Las Vegas talk show host, woman of the world, just an outstanding young lady. And I always love your passion for our business. And people would say, well, I'm not really in the business. But listeners as well as hosts, it's a community, isn't it?
I think it is, and I think you have to be in it for the right reasons. You're in it because you care about your community, the same reason I'm in it. We kind of see ourselves as the town crier, so to speak, standing up for the town. Like, for example, we had a big issue here in Las Vegas where they're trying to stick us with a $200 million soccer stadium that we have no money for. And so instead of, you know, I could get on the air and talk about it, but I went down to the city council meeting yesterday. And I'm tweeting about it, and I'm And I'm taking notes and that kind of stuff to talk about it on the air. And I think that's important for people to do. Sorry about my phone. I think it's important for people to do, to actually get involved. Of course, you can't go to every meeting. I understand that. But it's one thing to say, I'll talk about it. Another thing to get involved, show your face, actually be there to see things behind the scenes. Because the local press, they'll report it, but they're going to leave out a lot of stuff that you, for example, are going to pick up on if you're there in person. Let me give you another example.
Yeah.
When the president gives speeches or something like that, I don't do a ton of national politics because I'm on a mostly national station, but if the president gives a speech, what I would always do is I would go through the entire speech myself. I'd highlight it, pull the clips from the speech that I wanted, because the ones that I found interesting, that caught my ear, not the ones the national press is going to pick. That's the kind of stuff that you do, and a lot of people aren't willing to bother with it. So then they just become another cookie-cutter person reading, forehead.
Exactly. We don't want the cookie-cutters here. That's why we have Heidi Harris with us, Kevin Miller in the morning here at 580KIDO. Don't forget to check us out on Facebook as we move along. And, that's 580KIDO, KIDOA in Boise. And I'm trying to think of the other. Oh, that's right, Kevin Miller. Not that Kevin Miller, the guy dressed up as Captain America. Heidi Harris with us. HeidiHarris.com, Heidiology here. Heidi, as we continue on, let's take a look at just some of the other issues that we're talking about. And the idea that, the same-sex marriage issue seems to be percolating up, and you have these constitutional amendments across the country that are being overturned by these federal judges. Is that an example of objective adjudication or a tyranny of the bench?
Well, it is tyranny of the bench, and the problem with gay marriage, obviously, is, let me just be honest. I don't care where anybody spends the night. It's none of my business. I don't want to hear about it. And I would joke about the fact that I have a don't ask, don't tell rule. I won't ask where you spent the night if you don't tell me. It's not interesting to me. The problem with gay marriage is not that conservatives like me want to knock on your door and ask what you're doing and who you're doing it with. The problem with gay marriage is you are legalizing and you are basically sanctifying something that many people find offensive. And I know that there are folks who say, oh, you conservatives, you just don't like gays. No. We consider homosexual behavior to be the same category of sexual sin as adultery, fornication, all these other things. All of this falls short, so I'm not judging here. I'm just making the point. It's just another category of sexual sin. And people are trying to make it sound like, oh, well, no, that's not a problem. Jesus never talked about gay marriage. Jesus talked about husbands and wives plenty. Read your Bible. And so I can't force that on somebody. I'm not trying to, but there is no neutral ground here. And when you push gay marriage, you're forcing me, at least legally, to accept something that is not considered okay by a lot of people. And we are backing up instead of going forward and saying, I'm not going to knock on your door and tell you who to spend the night with, but I'm not going to have you come to my kid's classroom.
Heidi Harris with us, Kevin Miller in the morning here at 580KIDO. Heidi, social media is interesting. I had a guy the other day put on my page, let's see how many homophobic friends I can lose by this. And it's got two young men kissing each other. And I go, I don't want to see that. Does that make me a bad person that I unfriended him, that I defriended him? Because those views are not my views.
Right, exactly. Well, I have told my friends, I've got some people who put on my page or put in their feed pictures of animal abuse videos, or child abuse. I don't mean child, pornography, but child abuse videos. Oh, we got to find this person who's spanking this child, and we've got to find this person who hurt this dog. I told them, I'm blocking you. If you put any of these things on my feed, I'm blocking you. I can't solve it. I've never hurt a child, and these kind of things you have to learn about. On. And folks do that. I have a liberal friend who constantly gets on my personal page and goes after me about everything. And I personally, no politics on my personal page, but he'll tag me and things on his page. They just want to start fights with you. And I'm thinking, why am I not entitled to what I believe? You're entitled to what you believe. Why can't we just respect each other's right to believe that? But there is no respect. Let me give you another. You have time for a quick example?
2 minutes.
Okay, 2 minutes. There's an event that I go to frequently. I'm involved in this organization, and there's a gay male couple that I've talked to many times at this event. They're nice people. I don't care what they do. We've had all kinds of conversations about all kinds of things other than gay marriage. I know how to behave and not start fights with people. So then I ran into them recently at an event, and they said something. Oh, did you see the Clark County Republican Party? That's Las Vegas. Clark County Republican Party, they're changing their stance on traditional marriage. And I said, yeah, and I disagree with that. You know what? They gave me a dirty look. They've never talked to me again. Tolerance, I guess, is a one-way street. You notice how when I knew they were a gay couple, I never brought up their lifestyle to them, But the fact that I disagree, now they don't want to speak to me. There's your tolerance.
Right. It does seem to be a one-way street, but in, you know, the minute that we have, what is the solution for conservatives? Again, there's no dialogue anymore. There's just vilification.
Right. You're a homophobe if you don't agree that it's perfectly okay to do something that doesn't even work biologically and is considered another category of sexual sin. I'm supposed to go along with that because you have this predilection, whatever it might be. When is it going to be okay to molest kids? Is that going to be the next thing? Why not have 3 or 4 spouses? And they say, that's not the case. Well, yeah, it is. If marriage doesn't mean one thing between a man and a woman, then what does it mean? It's open to anybody's interpretation. And maybe it's 2 people who are the same sex now. Why can't it be 3 wives, 3 husbands? Why not? Who can legally stop them in a court once you've destroyed the definition of marriage?
Right. Where is the standard?
Right. There isn't one anymore. Their point is not really to have gay marriage. A lot of gay people don't want to get divorced and lose all their stuff. They want to eliminate traditional marriage. That's their goal. It's not about gaining something. It's about taking something away from us.
More coming up with our great friend Heidi Harris, HeidiHarris.com, Heidiology. Kevin Miller here. Coming up, we'll have the news from Channel 7. Stay tuned. Stay informed. 580 KIDO.
Glenn Beck, weekdays at 9. Now back to Kevin Miller on 580 KIDO, Idaho's first radio station.
580 KIDO, one of our favorite people, Heidi Harris with us. HeidiHarris.com. Heidiology. Okay, Heidi, if we go to these sites, what can we find out about you?
Well, HeidiHarris.com is my main site. You can find out that I'm a native of Las Vegas. I probably should put more stuff up there. I don't put as much as I should. That I've been in radio. This is my 16th year beginning. Can you believe it?
I can believe it because I can, again, I remember watching you at these seminars in New York, and that's a heck of a long way to go. And you were always learning, always taking notes and stuff. You always have that passion, that eye of the tiger, if you will.
Yeah, I do. I do care about it a lot. And you know what? Before I did that, I was a professional singer, and I also did some other things in my life, which I'm glad I did because it gives me great storytelling. I can relate to a lot of different occupations that people do because I've done a lot of them and that kind of thing, which I think is important. If anybody can get on the air and read your headlines, that's not what you do. That's why you're successful. And so if you don't have anything else to add other than reading me the Daily Outrage, then where are we going to go?
Well, I want to get back to something because at your core, you talk about your faith and you tweet about it and you Facebook about it. But before we get to that, getting back to something that's sacred to you, and that's marriage. You love your husband, you love your family, and the idea of marriage, it's very sacred to you and it is to me. And the whole redefinition of marriage, and we see this with sister wives. We see this our last segment when we're talking about same-sex marriage, eliminating marriage itself. What about the danger of, hey, let's bring back polygamy?
Well, that's the thing. If you change the definition of marriage and it's not a man and a woman, then it's open to any kind of interpretation. And the sister wives, people who were, I'm not sure if they're still in Vegas. I know they moved here for a while. Great. And I'm not sure if they're still here, but they were all excited about what Utah decided about the marriage thing. And they're obviously on board with the gay marriage in Nevada redefining marriage because they have come out and said, I would be misquoting if I tried to quote it now, but they basically came out in support of it saying that, yeah, that would be great because that would possibly legalize what they're doing. See, they understand it like I do. They get it. And if you have no definition, then it's the definition anybody wants to make up. That's a problem.
That's a weird dude, though. I mean, having seen that show, it sickens me as a man watching that show.
Now, that's not the piece of meat I'm going to fight over. I'll tell you right now. And I'm not...
Hold on. Thank you for that in-depth team coverage there, Heidi.
I'm sorry, but really, this guy, you're waiting for, you're hoping it's Wednesday because this guy's coming down the hall? Come on. Of all the guys I can think of that I would want to wait my turn for, he's the last one on the list.
Oh my gosh. I love that. See, you can get away with saying that. If I said that, it just wouldn't work as well.
That is so true. But, I mean, I look at this and I go, wow. But these girls have, this wife thing, you probably watched it. I've watched it in the past. These girls have all voluntarily done this, okay? So I'm not going to beat them up for that. But you can see the pain. It's not normal to know that your husband is leaving your house to go be with another woman. And I've watched that show when he married the fourth one, and they were calling on the honeymoon, and they're in tears. I mean, it's just so wrong. It's such a sick way to live your life, to share your husband or share your wife. It's just not normal. And this guy just, I don't get it. I just do not get the entire dynamic.
Heidi Harris joining us, Kevin Miller in the morning at 580 KIDO. Let's talk about evil itself incarnate, ISIS. Your thoughts?
Oh, my gosh, it's horrible, isn't it? You know, it's interesting. You hear stories about things like Ebola, and you think, well, you know, okay, I can't worry too much about Ebola because it's not coming here. But when you hear about ISIS and you hear the reports that I'm sure you've discussed about them possibly being south of the border, that's a concern. And that's always been a concern for me when you don't close the border. Not that we can put a fence up because we can't. I understand that. But when you look at who's coming through the border, the southern border and the northern border, and we don't know who they are, you know, ISIS can easily blend in with a lot of these people from South American, Central American countries. It's not hard to do. And those are the people. I'm not worried about Jose blowing up a building. I'm worried about these ISIS people because, remember, you know, Al-Qaeda, you've got some people who are, you know, ragtags to a large extent. And, of course, they're always the smart ones at the top. And you may remember a couple of years ago, Lara Logan from CBS News gave a great speech where she talked about it. And she said that even the people there say, we only catch the slow and the stupid ones. And I'm sure that's true. But ISIS is much better funded. That's a problem. Because I'm sure you've heard the story in 1993 when they flew the blind sheikh over this. The story goes that when they flew the blind sheikh over the top of the Twin Towers to take him off to prison for the first bombing in 1993, that they said, oh, they're still standing. And he said, it wouldn't be if I had more money. And, of course, they come back in 2001, and they're, you know, there you go. So the point is that if ISIS is as well-funded as they say they are, that's pretty scary because that's all it takes. It takes money to buy equipment. It takes money to buy technology. It takes money to buy the bribes to get them through. And the next thing you know, we have a disastrous situation. The difference in America versus other countries is we got 300 million guns in this country. So they're going to get away with a lot less here. But remember that the goal of terrorism is not to kill a million people. It's to kill 1,000 and terrify a million.
Yeah, but Heidi Harris at 580KIDO with Kevin Miller, you take a look at these folks that were killed, and I've seen the videos. The imagery of this jihadi John calling out Obama as if this were a WWE production.
Yeah, it's pretty scary. And, you know, but, you know, the UK, as you know, has ignored this problem. And these mosques in the UK, where these folks are being radicalized for years, it's been growing and growing and growing. And there was a book written years ago, like 5, 6, 7 years ago, called London East End, all about this. And that's not the only book, not the only article written on it. This has been going on for a long time. And it wasn't until a guy with a British accent chopped off a head, all of a sudden everybody's upset. And then the press comes out and they say, well, we're going to identify him via looking at his veins, vein mapping in his hands. Why is the press saying that? Why does the press have to give away every possible thing that the government uses to track somebody down? I don't understand that. They're irresponsible.
It is indeed. And then the idea of which side is the press on. Gone are the days of Ed Murrow and Walter Winchell.
You know, the press is on their own side. Let's be honest. If it wasn't a journalist being beheaded, otherwise they really wouldn't care. You know, when children are being chopped in half by ISIS, and I don't want to get too graphic here, but you get it. You've seen the stories. You know what I'm talking about. Those kind of things are going on all day long. They don't care. But when it's a journalist, oh, now we're upset. They're just so full of themselves, all the press, when it comes to that. The world revolves around them, their occupation, and they just focus on themselves. So that's why they're so mad about it. But it is an outrage that they can get away with this in America, and we stand there and we do nothing. Something should have been done a long time ago. You know, send in the A-10s, take out their entire trains full, you know, not trains, but I mean the cavalcade or whatever of all of their equipment as they're going down the road. I mean, come on, we've got ways to handle this. We can't eliminate the ideology. That will never happen. But we have ways to fight back and make their lives very miserable. And that's what we need to be doing. And we're not right now.
Heidi Harris joining us here at 580KIDO. Let's take a look at 2016. I guess we could look at 2014, if you will. Do you see the Republican wave continuing? And after that, let's go to 2016. But how do you see this this election gearing up before we know it? Heck, it's already September.
I know. It's amazing. Well, I'm hoping that the Republicans take the Senate. I don't know if they will. I certainly would like to see that happen. It'd be nice if Harry Reid didn't run for re-election as a result of that. That would be great. I think the problem, of course, is going to be whether people are going to vote for the conservatives, if there are any conservatives running in 2016, and if people are going to get out and vote for somebody they might not like as well. But it's better than the alternative. I can't imagine Hillary Clinton getting a free ride in 2016. I can't imagine that happening. But if we've got a nation full of people who forget about Benghazi and how she completely failed there, never took responsibility, and the other things that have gone on, and the diplomacy or lack of diplomacy that's led to this situation, because look at ISIS and all these things happen. They don't happen in a vacuum. These things are brewing for a very long time. There are intelligence reports coming in every single day. These are all being ignored. So a person like Hillary Clinton could possibly be the next president. John Kerry, who was an anti-war guy? I mean, are you kidding? It's unbelievable who we're putting in these high positions. So, you know, nothing would surprise me anymore in this country.
Right, but on the other hand, you know, who are the Republicans going to run? We hear Mitt Romney might come back one more time.
You know, he's not got some fire in his belly. That's a problem. I like Mitt Romney. I've interviewed him. I'm sure you have, too. Nice guy. But, you know, I need somebody with some fire in their belly. I think Rick Perry's looking better now. And what they tried to do to him in Texas, as you know, was a complete joke. But he's looking a little bit more authoritative now that the border situation's happened and some comments that he's made. And I don't know. I mean, I'd like to see Alan West run in 2016. I don't think Ben Carson has a shot, although I respect him enormously. But I'd like to see somebody like Alan West in the spot. But I want a real conservative. I'm kind of a Rick Santorum conservative. Mm. That's my kind of president. But I don't know if that person, if he could win because of his conservative values when it comes to social issues. But once again, how would his values about social issues hurt anything? If the laws are in place to change marriage, then what could a president do about it? It's the same thing as a president saying, well, I'm pro-life. Well, you can't change Roe v. Wade. You know, it's not going to happen. So you may have an attitude about it, but the laws are entirely different. Although I do find it hilarious that President Obama complains about Congress when he doesn't want to do something. You know, I can't do everything because, you know, we've got to do nothing Congress and this and that. And I know you heard Josh Earnest the other day decrying the fact that the Congress didn't work the way they wanted to work. Then when President Obama does want to do something, he basically goes around Congress. It's fascinating to watch.
It is. She's very fascinating. She's Heidi Harris, HeidiHarris.com. Kevin Miller in the morning. More coming up with Heidi in a minute. Let's get you to work safely and on time at 580K.
Dave Ramsey, weekdays at noon. Now back to Kevin Miller on 580 KIDO, Idaho's first radio station.
580 KIDO, Kevin Miller. Heidi Harris with us, HeidiHarris.com, Las Vegas talk show host. She's been everywhere, and now she's hanging with us. Good morning, Heidi.
I'm glad to be here. As a privilege.
Well, it's great to have you with us. What do you make of the war on women?
What war on women? You mean the one in the Middle East? the one in most of Africa, that one where they chop your parts off when you're 9 years old without anesthetic? You mean that war?
Oh, wow.
Is there something I'm missing?
Yeah. As if Archie Bunker and George Jefferson were running wild today. Although I miss them.
You know what? Yeah, is there sexism in the world? I mean, yeah, are there people who will look at you a different way because you're a female? I remember when I first got on radio, there was a big executive in town who met me, and they were introduced. I was introduced to him, and they said, this is our new talk show host. He goes, oh, really? You have to know things to be a talk radio host.
Wow.
Now, I'm going to go with you, probably wouldn't have said that to you, but that's okay. I'm a big girl. I can handle it. Underestimate me. I'll prove you wrong. That's okay. I guess you could focus on the fact that there are some people who are sexist. There are people who think differently of you if you're a female. Sometimes you have to work hard to be twice as good. But you can't focus on that. Whether it's a racial issue when you get out of bed in the morning and think the world's against you because you're a certain race or background, whatever, or because you're female, you simply can't function that way. It will not benefit you. And so I just don't focus on it. I've been absolutely smacked in the face by it. When I worked for a company where somebody who worked in the building was severely injured in an accident, and I wasn't even allowed to fill in, and I found out because I was a girl. I mean, can you believe that? Can you even believe that? But, okay, so you're smacked in the face with it. I get it. But the bottom line is you just can't worry about it. You got to go forward, do the best you can, and not worry about those people.
Heidi Harris with us here at 580KIDO. Yet we, you know, have people going back and forth on this all the time. It's fascinating to me when they bring up the glass ceiling and everything else. I think, you know, you're crazy to go after women these days.
Well, I have friends who fly the A-10 and other fighter jets, and I'm just curious as to whether they can see the glass ceiling from up there where they fly. I don't know. I mean, the part of the problem is that women do still have the children, and it's going to be different. Your career trajectory is going to be different if you do the right thing, which is while your children are young, stay home and take care of them. Because you can have it all as a woman, but you can't have it all at once. So if you try to work all day, be an executive, work your way toward partnership in a law firm or whatever, someone else is raising your children. You're not. You don't get brownie points for me because you're doing that and that and that because you're not. Your kids can't fire you. See, they're stuck with you, ignoring them. And your husband might or might not divorce you, but the kids are the ones who take it in the shorts while you're busy trying to be an executive. So If you stay home for a few years and raise your young children, yeah, there are going to be career opportunities you don't have, but that's because you're doing something far more important. You have to decide what you want to do in life and understand you can't do everything at the same time. If you're a man and you're an executive and you're not able to go to any of your kids' Little League games and suddenly you decide to take a job where that is something you can do, well, that's a decision you made. And good for you. You've made a more important decision. You might not make the money the guy working 90 hours a week makes, but he'll wind up divorced with kids he doesn't know. You're going to be actually raising your kids. So it goes for men and women.
Heidi, we always appreciate it. Thank you.
Thank you. It's always a privilege, Kevin.
You're listening to 580 KIDO, Kevin Miller in the morning. Let's get you to work safely and on time. Dave's watching all the roadway. Oh, what a mouthful.